Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We're happy to be with you for another program of Monday Memos from Concordia Seminary. In our studio today is our Dean of Academic Affairs and the Director of the Graduate School, Dr. John Klotz. Dr. Klotz, we've had you on the air once before, and we're delighted to have you back again today.
I'm glad to be back.
We're going to speak about a subject today which has received considerable attention in the papers within recent weeks. Namely, the removal of our probation. You are very familiar with this subject, Dr. Klotz, and so we'd like to ask you some questions about it. To begin with, Dr. Klotz, what does it mean for a school like Concordia Seminary to be placed on probation, and who imposed the probation on us?
Gladys, what it means is that the accrediting agency feels that we are below what they regard as minimum standards for an accredited institution. The particular accrediting agency that's involved is the Association of Theological Schools. This is the volunteer organization which attempts to set standards for theological seminaries, for divinity schools, schools of theology, and so on. They have certain minimum standards. They ask that you try to meet these standards, and if you fall significantly below those standards, then they will place you on probation. Probation is meant to be a warning that you've fallen significantly below the standards which they've set. They're telling you that if you cannot bring the school up to those standards, they will be forced to remove your accreditation. Now, accrediting agencies are voluntary organizations in one sense. You may belong to an accrediting agency or you may not belong. Mm-hmm. But for all practical purposes, it is not voluntary, because if the credits which students gain at your institution are to be recognized by other institutions, you must be an accredited institution. So in that sense, accreditation is not voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly is important for a seminary such as Concordia Seminary to be accredited.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sign that you are a quality institution. We're convinced that we are a quality institution. We're satisfied that we do meet those standards. And that's why we're so concerned about this matter of accreditation and our being placed on probation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, under the rules of the Association of Theological Schools, an institution may not be continued on probation. In other accrediting agencies, you may be kept on probation for some years. But the Association of Theological Schools has a rule that either you must meet their standards and the probation be removed, or your accreditation must be removed. And so this is another reason why we were very concerned about this matter.
Mm-hmm. How long has the seminary been accredited by the ATS? And when was the initial or the first probation imposed on it?
I'm not sure when the seminary first received its accreditation. I know it was sometime in the early 60s. The date that runs in my mind is about 1963.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, the seminary, for the first time, was receiving a majority of students with a bachelor's degree from an accredited institution.
Mm-hmm.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has, for generations, had a system of schools which prepare for the study of theology. However, it was only in 1957 that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod began a program of preparing men with a bachelor's degree before they went on to Concordia Seminary. Prior to that time, the men came to Concordia Seminary without a bachelor's degree. They were awarded a bachelor's degree at Concordia Seminary, but they had completed some of their theological work.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Association of Theological Schools requires that you have the vast majority, over 90% of your students, must have an accredited BA before they can be admitted. Concordia Senior College opened its doors in 1957. The first class graduated in 1959. So that in 1959, for the first time, Concordia Seminary was receiving the majority of its students with a BA.
Then there were a number of studies which had to be conducted. So it's my impression that it was around 1962, 1963 that Concordia Seminary was first able to receive accreditation by the ATS.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm satisfied that it was entitled to accreditation, but it simply couldn't meet the standard, which is a very good one,
mm-hmm.
That the ATS had set up.
Mm-hmm.
You ask when the seminary was placed on probation. It was first placed on probation on June 2nd, 1972.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasons given were three. First of all, the ATS felt, as a result of an inspection, that the Board of Control did not have adequate authority to carry out its responsibilities as the chief governing body.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the ATS felt that the faculty did not have the freedom to teach and to publish as it ought to have. And thirdly, the ATS felt that the attention of students, faculty, and administration was being unduly diverted to matters unrelated to education for the ministry.
Mm-hmm. Now, how long did that particular probation then last? You mentioned June 1972, right?
Yes, the seminary was placed on a 2-year probation, and that's the standard procedure of ATS to place an institution on a 2-year probation.
Mm-hmm.
And so the seminary was placed on probation for 2 years at that time.
Mm-hmm. Was that probation later removed then, I take it? Or
yes.
Wasn't it? Uh-huh.
No, that probation was removed.
Mm-hmm.
At the meeting of the Commission on Accrediting in April of 1974.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, a new probation was imposed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what developed was this, that a team was sent to Concordia Seminary toward the end of April 1974 to determine whether the seminary had measured up to the standards of the ATS, and particularly to see whether it had met the criticisms which the team had placed on it in June of 1972.
In other words, those 3 points that you were...
These three points uh-huh. were the ones that were investigated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to go back and understand something about what had developed. The church was very concerned about this matter of probation, and President Preuss was very, very concerned about the matter of probation. He felt that it was very important for our seminary to retain its accreditation, and he felt that the criticisms of the ATS had been made because of a lack of understanding of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So what he did was to appoint a task force to study the matter of accreditation and probation at Concordia Seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And this task force then met with the Association of Theological Schools, with its executive director, Dr. Ziegler, with the Commission on Accrediting, to try to determine very specifically what the concerns of the Commission on Accrediting were.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of those meetings, the task force recommended to the Synod in Convention that some changes be made in the bylaws. These were changes which would point up more specifically the responsibilities of the Board of Control and make it very clear that the Board of Control was indeed the governing body
mm-hmm.
of the seminary.
I see.
Now, all along, this had been the case.
Yeah.
There was no question but that the Board of Control was the governing body, but this was not clear from the handbook provisions. So the task force came to the convention at New Orleans with a series of recommendations in 1973. These were adopted, and they met the requirements of the Association of Theological Schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other matter was the matter of faculty freedom, and this, too, was spelled out in some of the changes that were made in the bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
So that when the team came in April of 74, they were generally satisfied that the seminary had met the standards which the ATS required.
Mm-hmm.
And the initial probation then was removed at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't say at that time. It was really removed legally and technically in the June meeting, in the early part of June of 1974, the meeting of the Commission on Accrediting,
mm-hmm.
which under the rules of the ATS has the final jurisdiction and the final determination.
Mm-hmm.
This commission has the power to impose probation, to remove it, and ultimately also to remove accreditation.
Mm-hmm. Now, what you're saying then is that they removed that probation, but did they come up with another one?
Yes, they imposed another probation at that time. They were here at Concordia Seminary in April, very shortly after the walkout.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, most of the students who had been here and most of the faculty members who had been here had left.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came in just at that time, at the time when the seminary was probably at its lowest ebb. And at that time then, they felt that a new probation should be imposed in order to bring the seminary up to reasonable standards.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this, of course, is a matter of difference of opinion. They really were sent to determine whether the seminary had met the conditions of the previous probation.
Yeah, yeah.
This was really their task.
Yeah.
But they really went beyond that task,
mm-hmm.
and recommended that additional notations be imposed and that a new probation be imposed for entirely different reasons.
Yeah. And why was that one only 18, why did we have only 18 months at that time?
I would say that this was simply an arbitrary action of the commission. They might well have extended it for 2 years. 2 years is the maximum.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
And ordinarily, an institution is given 2 years to come up to the standards.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fair to say that the men who were here felt that Concordia Seminary could meet the standards within 18 months.
I see. Uh-huh.
So I was not unduly disturbed by the fact that they asked us to meet these standards within 18 months. I took that as a vote of confidence.
I think they said
yeah. that we really are rather confident that within 18 months you can meet those standards.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're asking you to meet them within 18 months.
To me, it looks like they were making it tough for us.
Oh, I was encouraged by the fact that they had that much confidence in it,
right, uh-huh.
that we could meet those standards in 18
mm-hmm.
months.
I know you've already alluded to this, Dr. Klotz, but can you explain a little more fully how the ATS determines whether a school like ours should be placed on probation? What do they do, examine our records, or what happens?
They send in a visiting team. And this is in response to some concerns which they have. They came in originally because they said that they had read newspaper articles which indicated that the concerns which they ultimately raised were serious enough to warrant an investigation. And, of course, they do have the right to come in at any time. What the usual procedure is that a team is sent in and is asked then to bring a report to the Commission on Accrediting, and as I indicated, the action of the Commission on Accrediting is final.
That's the final.
It's not something mm-hmm. that can be appealed to the body as such. Now,
mm-hmm.
there is an appeal. I should hasten to add that. It is possible to appeal to the Executive Committee, but there is no appeal to the body itself in its convention. The decision of the Commission on Accrediting is final, unless it is appealed to the Executive Committee of the association.
Mm-hmm. Well, when that visiting team was here, what did they look for? Specific?
They came in with a specific agenda.
Oh.
There
mm-hmm.
were five items which were matters of concern to the ATS. First of all, the ATS felt that the faculty was inadequate. And, of course, when they were here in April, this was quite true.
Yeah, yeah.
We had, at that time, as you'll recall, we had four faculty
mm-hmm.
members, and we had another man who was on leave at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So at the time that they made their report,
mm-hmm.
we had only four faculty members.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the time that the Commission on Accrediting met, we had already had three, we had already added three to our staff because three of the six men who had been called very shortly after the team was here had accepted. And subsequently, of course, by the beginning of the fall term of 74-75, we had an adequate faculty. Mm-hmm. But at the time that they were here, I would have to agree that the faculty was inadequate because we just didn't have
that's
enough
right,
men.
That's right, yeah.
So this was one thing they were looking for. Secondly, they were not yet satisfied that our Board of Control exercised sufficient control.
Mm-hmm.
They were anxious to be able to demonstrate that the Board of Control was indeed a Board of Control.
Mm-hmm.
Then they felt that the resources we had here were inadequate for work beyond our basic theological degree, the MDiv.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say resources, are you speaking about people or...
Both books, people, physical facilities, and so on.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm sure that their concern was largely for faculty.
Oh, uh-huh.
Although they did express the concern that the library staff was inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
Then they also said that there are not enough students in the graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the fifth point was that the library staff was inadequate.
Mm-hmm. I see. Now, this, I think, again, you have hinted at some of this, but what was specifically done by our seminary about these criticisms? And I know that you were very much involved with it, and... can probably tell us more about it than anyone else around here. We took all of these criticisms seriously, I know.
Yes, we did, because we felt that they were matters that did deserve concern. We felt that they were not valid in some senses, but we felt that they were matters that we really had to work at.
Mm-hmm.
So we did bring in a faculty that was adequate for the program that we had.
Mm-hmm.
We also attempted to demonstrate that our governing board, our Board of Control, was indeed operating the seminary.
Mm-hmm.
We also wanted to demonstrate to the team that came in that we did indeed have academic freedom. This was a very touchy issue, and while there was no notation to that effect, one of the criticisms that they raised was that faculty members at this institution did not indeed have full academic freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went about demonstrating that. We used the ATS standards, and on the basis of ATS standards, we were able, I think, to demonstrate quite well that the faculty did indeed have
mm-hmm.
adequate academic freedom.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have, in this entire conversation, talked only about the ATS. There are also other accrediting agencies. And had we not regained our, had we not been reinstated, if that's the right term, there would have been other avenues open.
Yes,
right?
We might have sought accreditation by the regional accrediting agency, which is North Central Association,
mm-hmm.
yes.
Mm-hmm.
But and I certainly would favor that, but we also would be very much interested in maintaining our standing with our peer group, which would be the theological seminary.
Yeah. So often people ask, why is that so important to be accredited by the ATS?
Once more, I would answer that we would like this sort of stamp of approval on the quality of our program. This to say that you are not accredited does not mean your program is inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
But if it is accredited, this is at least the stamp of approval that people feel that it does meet the standards
mm-hmm.
of other theological seminaries.
I see.
So uh-huh. this is what we're interested
mm-hmm.
in.
I think it would be interesting to hear, Dr. Klopp, what the visiting team, which was here last November, had to say about us. Well, what were their impressions of our seminary, of our people? First of all, who was on this visiting team?
Well, let me answer the last question
okay.
first. The team consisted of Dr. Harvey Guthrie, who is the dean of the Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He was the chairman
mm-hmm.
of the team.
and assisting him was the dean of Fuller Theological Seminary at Pasadena, California, Dr. Glenn Barker, and Dr. Elliot Allen, the dean of theology at the University of St. Michael's College in Toronto.
Had we had any contact with any of these men before?
No, they had never been on the campus prior to this visit. The contact we had, of course, was to supply them with material before they came on.
Mm-hmm.
But they were coming to the campus for the first time and seeing us in operation for the first time.
Mm-hmm. I see. And what did they have to say about us?
I think they were very fair in their evaluation. I think they were sympathetic to what we were trying to do, very open-minded, and the result was that they told us before they left that they were very favorably impressed with our operations. They did not even go into the library because they said that there was no point in their going there. They were quite satisfied that the library was adequate. They did spend a great deal of time in investigating the seminary to see whether it really did measure up to standards. They asked us to give them information on the background of our faculty. We were very happy to point out that most of our men have earned doctorates. As you know, three of our faculty members have two earned doctorates, and this is quite unusual to have a man who is so highly qualified that he has been awarded two earned doctorates. So they were satisfied that the faculty was sufficient to deal with our basic program, the MDiv program. Now, they did have some concerns about the adequacy of the faculty for graduate work. And the reason for this is that we had very few men who had had the experience of guiding graduate students through a Ph.D. And this was to be expected because we had only of four men who remained with us, and by the time they were here, one of these men had retired. So that of the five men who were here, only three of the men had had the prior experience of serving in the School for Graduate Studies. Dr. Robert Price had left to assume the presidency of our sister school at Springfield, and Dr. Wunderlich had retired. So we had only three of the five men with us. So they were, I think, very complimentary. They said it was very clear that we had academic freedom within the confessional limits of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. They were satisfied of this. They were satisfied that faculty members understood what these limitations were. They felt that there were very few scars of the disruptions of January and February 74. They complimented us on this, that we were looking to the future, not reliving the past, and that the scars had largely disappeared. So their recommendation was that the probation be removed. They did tell us that they wished a notation imposed, which indicated that they still had some concerns about our School for Graduate Studies. And we have these concerns, too.
Was that the only notation or criticism?
This is the only criticism that they had, that we did not have a faculty that was adequate for the doctoral work.
Isn't that rather unusual in itself to have just the one criticism or not?
I think it's highly complimentary, yes. There are a number of schools accredited which have three notations. I think there's at least one which has four. A number have two. And we're in a company of those that have only one. So I think this was quite complimentary.
One other question along another line, Dr. Klotz. Recently, one of the newspapers here in the city carried an article about the removal of our probation, but actually devoted more space on another matter in that same article, namely the sender of the American Association of University Professors. What's the connection between these two? As I was reading this article, I had a little difficulty trying to put the two together or trying to see what the relationship was between the two. Can you elaborate on this?
Well, the AAUP is not an accrediting agency in a very real sense. It's a faculty union, and it is a group which is interested in protecting faculty rights. Certainly, this is a very important thing, that the rights of faculty members be protected. Their particular concern has been with academic freedom.
but I must say I don't feel they understand the nature of academic freedom in a confessional church such as the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would like to point to is the judgment of the ATS visiting team. They studied this matter very carefully and said their conclusion was that academic freedom is present and operative at Concordia Seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And it is this judgment that I think is important, and I would hope that the AAUP would be influenced by this judgment, which our accrediting agency has expressed.
Yeah.
And would be satisfied.
Uh-huh. Well, do we have any kind of connection at all with the AAUP? Not really.
No, we really don't have any connection with the AAUP. It's an organization to which some faculty members belong. I don't know that any of ours belong. I did belong for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
But when I became a dean, they told me quite bluntly that they didn't want administrators. They wanted only faculty members. So that my membership had to last.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So that at the present time, I don't know of any of our faculty members who are members of AAUP.
I see. I think you've pointed out everything very, very well here, Dr. Klotz. You have, however, not told us about the hard work that you've put in on the past 18 months trying to build the school. I, for one, know how very much time you've spent on that, and I hope that you know that we all appreciate it very much. I do have one final question for you. In view of the events of the past week, what kind of future do you see for the seminary? Perhaps in terms of enrollment, faculty?
I would say a very promising future. I think that I'm quite sure we're going to have more students next year than we have this year. We must add to our faculty because we need to provide additional staff in order to accommodate these students. I hope that we will come up with new programs, innovative programs. We have a number that are under consideration right now. So I would say that the future of the seminary is bright. We are going to move ahead with our work of preparing men for the ministry of Jesus Christ in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We've seen many blessings from our Lord in these past months, and we're confident that his blessing will continue to rest upon us, on our work, and on the seminary.
We really appreciate hearing that. Thank you so very much, Dr. Klotz, for sharing all this information with us. I'm sure that all of us have learned a lot. Thank you.